Hello, you're listening to People, Pets, and Vets with Dr. Brad Miller and registered veterinary technician Angel Martin.
Hello.
Each week we bring you current events and news in the veterinary industry and share our thoughts and perspective on how they impact us in our animal hospital. We also try to give you an insight and behind-the-scenes glance at our clinic and the people in it. This episode 67 is being brought to you once again by Georgia Veterinary Associates, a family of animal hospitals caring for your family pet. And you know what they say?
What do they say?
Healthy pet, happy life.
Is that what they say?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that might be a new tagline we're going to introduce moving forward. So
perfect.
All right, so we are in, every afternoon is a thunderstorm, beautiful Lawrenceville, Georgia.
Yeah, it kind of feels like Florida, right?
However, I
feel like the rain is staying, whereas like Florida, it's like sunshine rain.
This morning was beautiful. It was warm, you know, a little bit muggy. Lunchtime, a little overcast, pop-up showers, and 3 o'clock looked out and it was just a downpour.
Yeah, it's so, currently
raining. Very, very typical for the North Metro Atlanta area of Georgia. So, happy Father's Day, belated.
Yeah, so
to all the dads out there, whether you're a proud pet parent or
pet dad,
yeah.
Remember, we've talked about this whole like pet Mother's Day and like Father's Day. I didn't see any of the fathers post that it was unfair that the pet fathers were being appreciated as well. Just saying.
Huh. Yeah. So
you know, like how Mother's Day, it's like a really big deal that. The mothers that haven't actually given birth are being appreciated.
Like, yeah.
I haven't heard anything about that. Maybe it's real. I don't know.
Like, let's barbecue. But got other things to worry about. Maybe.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Right.
So anything exciting happened with you and your family? Did you show your dad a little appreciation?
Yeah, we showed my dad a little appreciation. Hung out at the pool for a little bit. Lance was there as well. The dogs got Lance some dog socks. He got a golden retriever pair and a dachshund pair.
Wow. What about a mixed small breed pair?
No, they don't really sell that. Mutt. Yeah, they don't have Mutt.
What is Zoe? Is that her name?
Zoe is her name. Yeah.
Is she mainly Chihuahua?
Technically, she's one of those free parking lot dogs. And when my sister acquired her as a young child, she was told that she was a feist.
A feist.
Yeah, so that's a backyard, squirrel hunting dog here in the South.
I don't think they're backyard dogs, but
I'm pretty sure they are
they just stay out in the yard.
Yeah, they're like little squirrel hunters.
Okay, they are hunters. They're kind of like a rat terrier type.
Yep. But so, I mean, I guess can you pick that out of Zoe? Smaller than a terrier.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. So I think she's like a Chihuahua, smooth-coated terrier.
Mix of a dog.
Mix with 57 other things.
Yeah, so no, she didn't get Lance anything. She chipped in on the socks with the other dogs.
Okay, nice. Well, good for her.
And my dad is sporting a new Series 5 iWatch.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow.
He has the most updated one in our entire family, so.
I wonder, have you got any feedback, whenever something goes off and he has the haptics, come through? He's like, what in the world is going on my wrist?
I haven't. No, what'll really be funny is, Amber Alerts?
Yeah, when that goes off.
Yeah, so I don't think he's had the opportunity for any of that. But we did turn the haptics up to, I think, what is called profound.
Profound haptics.
Yes, I'm pretty sure that's the setting in your iWatch app. But it's just so that you can obviously notice it. You can turn them off, right? Or you can make them as profound as you want. And we did his the strongest, so.
Huh.
We'll see how he likes it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, cool.
What about you?
Oh, nothing earth-shattering. Spent a little time with my family. Had a meal at the end of the day. So, yeah, it was a good Father's Day.
Good.
Nothing super exciting, but nothing extreme happened either. So that's always good whenever there's no big surprises.
Middle of the road is perfect always.
Middle of the road. Next big holiday coming up, I guess, is July 4th.
Yeah, fast approaching, right, in a couple of weeks.
So we'll have to deal with the anxiety of fireworks, anxiety in pets.
Right.
And the people that own the pets, they get more anxious sometimes than the pets themselves get.
Yes, but rightfully so, right? Again, fireworks are always kind of a big deal in this area, but they were mostly illegal until recently. So you didn't have
the ones. 5 years, five, 7 years, something like that.
You didn't really have the big popping ones that left the ground and blew up in the sky like you have now. So It's always kind of a big deal in my neighborhood because inadvertently someone, maybe kids or whatever, shooting off 2-3 days before and then 3-4 days after.
Afterwards. So, yeah. Fireworks and thunderstorms. We've talked about that many times, causing pretty big phobias and anxiety in dogs. So.
Right. For sure.
We came to a big decision, what, this past week?
Yeah. Pretty big decision.
It's big.
This would have been our 6th anniversary for our Care Fund 5K race, where we obviously fundraise for our nonprofit. But with all that's going on, Corona, and then the race director that we use, we haven't really been able to do like a virtual race. So we're just going to go ahead and cancel this year.
Another victim of COVID-19.
Right.
So, in 2020.
Yeah. So it's, I think it's the best decision, as we've discussed, you know, you and I don't want people coming out, in low attendance, because I don't think that that's the point of what we're doing. And so I don't want people to come out uncomfortably.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so.
No, we just, yeah, we didn't feel like we were prepared, nor were our clients or the public prepared. And so I think it's the best decision.
Yep.
A lot of decisions that have been made surrounding, this coronavirus thing going on, I've not really agreed with at the time, but the kind of later on I have come to understand, you know, why, and I'm okay with accepting that. But, you know, who would have ever thought the Final Four would have been canceled? You know, the baseball season.
Haven't even had one.
Yeah, not even playing. And now our 5K race canceled.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Wow. Tragic.
Yeah.
Interesting that you should say that, as far as like decisions that have been made that you didn't necessarily agree with. So, as you know, my family and I, we had a cruise planned late May, early June, and obviously that was canceled. And the last I actually read up on it, because as I've shared on this podcast many a time, like I was very, I guess, involved in all things coronavirus when it first happened. And I think I got myself a little bit overworked and overwhelmed with it. And so I've somewhat backed off by reading news articles and that kind of thing. And so the last I, you know, had read or heard, cruise ships were going to take set sail in June 30th. Well, yesterday I actually learned that cruise ships aren't actually going to set sail until mid-September.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure September 15th is the date that they're now allowed to
set sail. I kind of felt like July 4th was going to be a big date, like get past July the 4th.
I just think historically, or like when you compare our numbers to other countries' numbers, they're not where people want them to be. I feel like on a day-to-day, it's less of an obvious thing, right? Like I'm seeing less people wear masks in places. I'm hearing less about it. And again, somewhat because I've recluded myself from it.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's,
when did the White House stop doing the daily press conferences? You know, we watched the first,
I stopped watching
21 to 28 of those.
Yeah. I stopped watching, cause they were doing one every day. Right.
Yeah.
I stopped watching a while ago, so I really couldn't tell you.
So back to the Care Fund, on a positive note, a happy note.
Yeah.
We adopted out, we meaning y'all did more work than I did, but we were all involved.
Yeah, but we collectively as the GVA Care Fund, right? So we had acquired 3 kittens, and we have adopted out 3 kittens. So these are cute, cuddly, eight-week-old kittens, which they're fuzzy and cute and goofy and playful, and everyone really loved them. But we were able to adopt them out into their forever homes, and we'll continue to vaccinate and take care of them until they've reached maturity, if you will.
So just for informational purposes, whenever someone adopts a cat from our Care Fund, kind of back to what you just said, the agreement is no matter where they are in their life stage, we're going to make sure they're fully vaccinated.
Right.
And then either spayed or neutered.
Altered, for sure.
And we kind of get them off to that good start, and then have the expectations from, I guess, from our side back to the client that they will continue to care for the pet in the way that we started that healthcare program.
Exactly. And so, as I said, we have these 3 kittens, right? And we have somewhat started them off on the right foot. We've vaccinated them with their first set. We've given the owners a schedule for their upcoming sets. We do still have a super, super affectionate 2-year-old tortoiseshell. She is still available for adoption. She has images all over our Facebook and that kind of thing. So,
so I was going to ask, do we have others? But just the one.
Yeah, just her.
Okay.
Yep.
Cool.
Just her. We named her Azalea, which obviously people rename pets because while they're in adoptive care, they don't really, or I guess essentially foster care, they don't really come or listen to their name at that point in time. So, yeah. The pets that we adopted out, the three kittens, they've all been renamed. So. Cool.
All right, Azalea. Yep. All right, so you pulled a few stories to talk about.
I did. So one of the first stories that I wanted to talk about is that over the weekend, not only was it Father's Day, but it was also the first day of summer.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so I think we talk about this
that
pretty
was
much
Saturday evening, like at 5:23 or something weird.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, it was the first day of summer, but are you talking about like the solstice where it like turned specifically? But anyways, yeah, so it was the first day of summer. So with that comes summer heat. My sister and I went to the park today over lunch and we were surprised that it was only 86 degrees outside because it felt like, you know, 96. Mm,
yeah.
And so the point in saying that is that the summer temperatures are definitely coming and we're already starting to feel them. So I found an article that you have there that talks about
here
those dogs that are at high risk of heat stroke. So there was some study done by Scientific Reports. They studied over 9,000, I think it was like, or 900,000. It was like 905,000 dogs. They said that along with those quote unquote flat faced dogs, so like the brachycephalic breeds, like we've talked about before, so your pugs, your Boston Retriever or Boston Terriers, your French Bulldogs, that also your older dogs and your overweight dogs or those dogs that are carrying around a couple extra pounds are also at higher risk. And I thought that was interesting because similar in humans, right? So heat stroke and then I guess like exertion. So I think back to in Michigan where people like would be plowing their snow, which obviously totally not heat, but it's always the elders that you have to worry about exerting themselves too much. And those overweight people out there shoveling the snow. So it's kind of the same thing in the heat. You don't want to overdo the exercise for you or your pet in heat because heat stroke is a very real thing.
Yeah.
In dogs, maybe you can comment on a little bit more, but one of the biggest things that heat stroke can be so fatal about is because dogs don't sweat, right? So like human beings, we thermoregulate with sweat and dogs don't.
Right.
So
they pant primarily. That's why they get to breathing hard, they open mouth breathe, their tongue gets huge. I mean their tongue can almost get 10 times the normal
size
just to help dissipate that heat. So I'll interject here. A lot of people in the summer are going to clip the hair off their dog.
Yes.
Because they think their dog is hot in the summer.
Yes.
Right? So we humanize this. Their dog is hot and it's got all this hair. And so we're going to go ahead and shave all the hair off. And the reality is that's absolutely the wrong thing to do. If you're really shaving them for to try to keep them cool, you're actually going to make them hotter by taking it off because their hair coat acts like a form of insulation.
Right.
And so it keeps them from getting as hot. And also, especially if they're out in the direct sunlight, then you've got a layer, you know, however thick you're, I'm showing what, 3 inches here, 2-3 inches, if it's a golden, maybe to keep them cool. So, I mean, obesity, it's a disease. It has some, you know, many effects on the joints, musculoskeletal system, but also would set you up for heat stroke for sure.
Yes, I thought that was pretty interesting, and I thought that that was a huge amount of dogs to be studied, 905,000.
Yeah, that's a ton for sure.
So obviously we know heat stroke is a very big deal, especially as the summer comes, like we said.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely try to keep your pets indoors. Don't lock them in cars. Again, I feel like we talk about this every year.
Yeah, this is kind of going into the third summer that we've been doing the podcast. Is that right?
Second.
Okay. I was thinking third for some reason that we start. Anyway, we've talked about it a lot. Kids that get left in cars and they heat stroke, dogs that get left in cars, bad idea.
For sure.
Even in the Teslas that have this message that comes up and says, it's okay, you know, my dog's
they have dog mode.
My dog's in the car, but the cooling system is working still. I don't even know if that system faulted once or not. I feel like it did, but anyway, bad idea.
Okay.
Bad idea.
Yeah, for sure.
So, all right, next.
I thought it was interesting. So there's an article about the state of Iowa that is actually going to pay for, or it's going to do, what is it like? Loan reimbursement.
Loan relief or, yeah.
Yeah. So I thought it was interesting when I first read it. I was like, if I was a vet student, I'm not quite sure that it would be worth it because I read it as only $15,000, but it's essentially $15,000 a year
for
a total of 4 years.
Yeah.
So 60 grand, I think if you commit to working in a rural area in Iowa, that they will do that for only 5 students. So they're looking for 5 students that want to come and work in these, I guess, veterinarian-less populations.
Yeah, similar thing is about to start in West Texas, but I don't know about the loan repayment. Mm-hmm. But there's a new vet school going in around Canyon, Texas, and Texas A&M was not real happy because they've been the only vet school in Texas forever. But there is a huge need for farm animal veterinarians in northern Texas and then going up into Oklahoma, Colorado, Wyoming, up in those areas.
Sure.
Kansas, maybe. So they are putting a new school in trying to attract these large animal vets. And I've heard of other programs similar to this Iowa program. I can't recite
for MDs. So like if you graduate as a medical doctor, I've heard of that. Like, and if you go into a rural area where there is no health care and you commit to being there for a certain period of time, then you get some loan forgiveness.
So very similar to what happens on the federal level as far as maybe like the Army Corps, they recruit veterinarians to come in, they relieve some student debt,
mm-hmm.
or give scholarships maybe as they're going through that school,
sure.
in exchange for a commitment for usually what 3, 4, 5 years after they graduate. So,
but if you consider the fact that you're a new grad and let's say that you are $200,000-$250,000 in debt, 60 grand to be relieved off of your debt is pretty huge.
Oh,
it's nowhere near half, right?
But yeah, no.
It's a pretty big deal. The only thing is, you know, contrary to that, if you're going into these rural areas, you're probably not making as much as someone could be earning in other areas. So it's kind of a give and take. Obviously, I think you probably have to be someone who has an interest in that, right? You couldn't do it just for the loan forgiveness.
Yeah, just for one reason or the other, for sure.
But cool. I thought it was very interesting. I thought, good for Iowa.
I almost feel like some Indian reservations and other places and sites have done a very similar thing. So, yeah, it's not a totally new concept, but I bet it's kind of difficult to pull off and get it passed through the legislature.
Oh, I would imagine. Yeah, for sure. Cool. Especially on a state level like that. So I thought it was really cool. Another interesting thing that I found is that emesis. Let's use emesis as our word of the week.
How are you saying this word?
Emesis.
Okay. I'm like, what are you talking? Emesis.
Emesis. Emesis.
Thermometer.
Thermometer. How do you say it? Emesis.
Emesis.
So what is emesis?
Vomiting.
Okay. So I thought it was super interesting. So let's say we had this case, I guess if almost last week, maybe a dog came in who ate, 2 boxes of raisins. I guess the people had children at home. They ate 2 boxes of raisins. And so the best thing we could do for the pet is have them bring the dog in as soon as possible so we could have the dog vomit. And there's a couple of ways that we currently use to induce vomiting. One is much more preferred over the other. Peroxide is something that you'll find online. And sometimes people will use that as a home remedy to make pets vomit. But we use a drug called apomorphine. Yes?
Yes. Yes.
And so you're going to know a little bit more about the drug than I do, but it's truly, it comes in an injectable form that you have to get compounded, or it comes as a compounded tablet form. Yes.
Apomorphine you're talking about. Yes, not the new drug. Yes.
Yes, not the new drug. And so currently how we do it in our practice is we instill a tablet into the third eyelid or the mucous membrane of the eye. And then that is absorbed by the body and makes the dog vomit.
Right.
Makes them feel very nauseous. Well, I'm going to suggest that you put it in the eye because of the quick absorption rate, but I would be guessing.
So
why do we put it in the eye?
It is absorbed very quickly from the eye, like it would be from the gum tissue. But the main reason, in my opinion, is that we put it there is because once they start vomiting, we can wash out the remaining drug compound so that they don't continue vomiting for 5, 10, 30 minutes down the road. So once they start vomiting...
But if you put it under their tongue, couldn't you do the same thing?
You're going to be able to rinse that out under their tongue.
I'm just asking. Like, I have never heard of that. I mean, I know we always rinse it out because there are always little particles left.
To stop the vomiting.
Mm-hmm. But there is also an injectable form. And so how come the injectable form doesn't have a reversal agent that would stop vomiting?
It just doesn't. I mean, we use morphine. We do a CRI of morphine, and that can cause vomiting unless we give them a pre-med to keep them from vomiting. So
I think
you're missing the point. We don't give it sublingually, orally, or by injection. We put it in the conjunctival sac so that once the vomiting starts, we can rinse out the remaining product. Because if they weigh 2 pounds or if they weigh 100 pounds, we're going to put typically a 1 milligram tablet in the conjunctival sac.
So, but my point being is that there is compounded apomorphine that you can give IV that you don't reverse or rinse out. That we'll leave it at that. Anyways, the point of this story is that the FDA has now approved an eye drop for dogs.
Yes, I saw that. I read a brief description. I thought it was going to be a morphine-like product, but it's not. And I don't know that I know what the drug classification is.
So, I don't either, but I think it's interesting because you essentially give it over a series of days.
To induce vomiting over a series of days?
Mm-hmm. So, or maybe that was the safety effects. But basically, you...
Clevor. It's called C-L-E-V-O-R. That's clever. Clevor. Prescription only, administered by vets.
Okay, so they vomit within 30 minutes.
Okay. Apomorphine, usually within 5 to 10. We're reading as we go. That's okay.
Is a dopamine agonist that is administered by drops in the eye. So, my question here to you, and you may not know this, but why make an eye drop? If your point was, is it still to rinse it out? Is that the idea?
I don't know. It's available 0.3 ml pre-filled single dose dropper and supplied in 1 or 5 droppers per carton. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if it's a liquid, it's going to be absorbed. We put the tablet in there and it's slowly dissolved as your tears dissolve the tablet and then they absorb the drug. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll kind of see the need and the effects and clinically how it works.
Okay.
You want to know the biggest, in my opinion, the biggest bust of a drug that any manufacturer ever came out with, and the drug is no longer currently used by us?
Can I guess?
Yeah, I think you're going to know what it is.
You think so?
Yeah.
Slentrol.
So that was a product made by, were they Zoetis at that point?
I'm pretty sure. Maybe it was Pfizer.
And it basically suppressed the dog's appetite.
It was
appetite.
An appetite.
Was it for cats as well?
You know, it may have come out labeled for cats later, but I definitely remember seeing like rubber mats for like food bowls, like as part of their marketing strategy.
So the manufacturer, Pfizer, Zoetis, whoever, they thought that they had got a product. There's a need for this product, right? Because as we said earlier, obesity is a disease. It's a huge problem in pets and people. And so the drug worked by making the dogs not so hungry, and adverse effects of the drug were vomiting, diarrhea. That was it. And so You've heard me tell the story quite often, I think. You know, everybody thought it was going to be a great drug. The product actually worked beautifully. The problem is the manufacturer failed to recognize the fact that if a pet parent had a pet, regardless of whether they were obese or not, if that pet quit eating, they became very, very unhappy. So the whole food is love is a real phenomenon, I think.
Sure.
And so what we would do, we would diagnose pets, you know, maybe 20 pounds overweight. Oh, Mrs. Smith, we're going to go, not you, Miss Smith, but another one. We're going to, a generic Mrs. Smith. We're going to go ahead and put Casper on Slimtrol because Casper needs to lose 20 pounds. Oh, yeah, that's great. So you just need to give, was it a liquid or tablet? Liquid,
I don't remember. I thought they were capsules.
You give it once
really
a day
know.
And don't worry, he's not going to eat as much. We're good. And so Mrs. Smith would get home, start giving Casper the Slimtrol. Within about a week, all of a sudden Casper isn't eating as much, so we get a phone call. Casper's not eating like Casper should. Exactly, Miss Smith. The drug is working. Give it another week, and, you know, let me know how we're doing. Week two goes by. Dr. Miller, I'm really upset. I'm very concerned about Casper. Casper's not eating. Okay, well, Miss Smith, we talked about this is what the drug does. As long as Casper's not having any vomiting or diarrhea, you need to keep giving the drug. Within 3 days, every time, you get a phone call. This is Miss Smith again, Dr. Miller, and Casper's now vomiting, so I'm stopping the drug. Okay. End of story, click. So it was amazing. They being Pfizer Zoetis, really, that was a great drug, but the human factor kind of played into it, and the drug is no longer in existence. So that was kind of a long story.
So it is kind of a long story, but I guess it kind of feeds into the whole point of why I brought up an FDA-approved vomiting drug. So there's a lot of things that veterinarians use off-label or that aren't necessarily meant for dogs or cats, but clinically have been used that way for many, many years, right? And so it's I think it's a well-known fact, but it's maybe not a well-known fact. But to your point, Slintrol was an FDA appetite suppressant in dogs. And so sometimes the FDA is who we trust, and it's not always the best thing, right? So to your point, we'll see when this drug comes out if it is a superior drug to what we are currently using with apomorphine. Or if we have more success and more control over the vomiting with an apomorphine tablet.
Ear disease, that, you know, there are several labeled products for dogs and cats, FDA approved for ear disease. We see a lot of yeast otitis, and we use a drug, I guess it's completely off label, but it works so much better than any of the labeled products for that problem. And so, yes, clinical, we talk about clinical reasoning, clinical results. How does something react clinically versus what the white paper says should happen?
So, exactly.
The only other story I saw was there was a, let me find it real quick. A 463-pound gorilla that was flown in a helicopter by a veterinary team from Johannesburg Zoo to Onderstepoort Veterinary Academic Hospital at the University of Pretoria for a CT scan. And they diagnosed the gorilla with chronic rhinitis.
That's interesting.
So I only bring that up because we had another CT case today, a cat that had bilateral otitis media, middle ear infection, that once we got in there, there was pus, there was polyps, there was all sorts of nastiness. The bone was had little bitty pinpoint holes on
That's
the bulla. And so I'd never really seen that before, but we hope that little one does well moving
that
forward.
That cat is a relatively young cat, is that right?
I think so, yeah.
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 Interesting.
So, all right, that's all I've got.
Okay. Well, make sure you check in next week, guys, as we discuss more in the news and in our industry. Follow us on Instagram at People, Pets, and Vets. Follow all of our clinics on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and then make sure to check out our blogs on mygavet.com. Under the resources tab, you can find our podcast and listen to the current episodes, or please subscribe to this podcast wherever you're getting it from. And remember, without people, pets are simply animals. And what's the new tagline?
Healthy pet,
happy life.